Hello and welcome to We're All Gonna Die and Other Fun Facts, a semi-regular, occasionally amusing, and rarely funny series of conversations on a random topic. Our episode is entitled, You've Known Me Your Whole Life. And it's about what it means to maybe grow up and reflect on a childhood differently or from different perspectives. And our guest for this episode is someone who knows something about, I guess, joining me in adulthood, Noah Gaynor.
Hey.
Hey.
What's happening?
So I guess we should start. Okay, necessary background information.
That's important.
Yeah, necessary background for all of this. So we were figuring this out before the show tonight. You became aware of me, knew me when you were what age?
That had to have been 2003. So six.
Five or six?
Depends what time of the year. If it was spring 2003, five? I think the math is right. Yeah. This is late at night. Math. This is why I failed stats twice. Yeah, five or six?
Five or six?
Wow.
Okay, so And tonight we went to a bar together.
We did. Oh my. Howlers.
And that is a place that is pretty strict about carding people who come through the door.
Yeah.
And you didn't get carded.
I did not get carded.
You're not only old enough to legally be there. And I remember texting you earlier, don't forget your ID. You didn't even need it.
Funny thing. Yeah. I shaved yesterday. Mm-hmm. When I shave, I look 5 years younger. So that's even worse. And they didn't even card me. I must be destined, man.
I look
the part. I'm doomed.
Yeah, and so we met,
you probably known of my existence, because you were best friends with my mother.
Yeah, your mom is one of my best friends in life.
There's so many.
I miss her dearly.
She's stuck.
She's not dead or anything, wait.
No, she's not dead. Please, let's...
No. We met in a graduate program, and the thing about grad school friends is you have this long, very intense experience together that no one else in the world understands, I think, in some ways, in its particulars, both in terms of academia in general, but also individual programs, and then you scatter. And then you go through your thing, and then you scatter to the four winds. So I hung out with your mom for the first time in probably over a year earlier this summer.
Yeah,
drove through a crazy bad thunderstorm.
Yeah,
but I was not going to deny myself the pleasure of lame-ass strip mall cuisine in Morgantown with your mom, because she happened to be in Morgantown.
Oh, you went... When she went to her thingy?
Yeah, I went down there. Ago? That was when we hung out.
I didn't know this. Why didn't she tell me this shit?
Important. And it was this, you know, oh my God, I'm hanging with MG again. Oh, you know. And it was so wonderful, and it brought me back to a time and a place.
Man.
But it was like not nostalgic. I mean, we're still friends. We still can talk about things today, which is, you know, we're friends for life, hopefully.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
You're
and
good.
And so...
Growing up with a parent in grad school.
Oh.
That's what I did. Like, that's what I've...
Which is very unique, I think.
And the thing is, she always had night class, so someone was always over there that wasn't her.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
And I have two half-brothers now. So
yeah.
I grew up an only child going into middle school. So, I was secluded. Mom wasn't around, so I grew up, you know, things in my mind. I was into things. Most others weren't, you know. My life is a delicate cycle, okay, people? I'm surprised I made it this far, but it's made me a better person. I've had retrospect. I've had friends that I would do anything for, the few that I have left that haven't left me. And this is where I'm at now. I'm 21. I'll be 22 in October. Like, oh my goodness. I want a refund. Like, once you reach 21, it's all downhill from here. Like, I've reached the slope. Like,
no.
It feels like that now. Like,
well, okay. So, so perspective, retrospect. One yes. thing we have to unpack at this podcast yes. is, you know,
unpack away.
Well, first, yeah, I mean, you've been aware of me. I've been certainly aware of you. I heard about you long before I met you.
Oh, boy, that's...
From your mom.
Oh, geez, what'd she say?
No, all good stuff. It was
like,
fun.
I want to know, though. Like, this is...
What
would she say? Like, I don't know what she said in grad school. Like, this is what I need to know.
Because
I was home, alone.
You were home alone?
Babysitters, you know, that were her friends, and I was like, you know.
That's right. So you
Claire was my babysitter.
Yeah, that's right. Some yeah. of my other best friends
were my
like
was
you.
My yes.
Oh wow, that's so wild.
I know. And this was still when we had, you know, kind of a bad president.
Yeah, no, those were rough times. Those Bush years, going to grad school and during the Bush years, I think I had a stress headache.
I've been
for 2.5 years.
I have been in college every year that Trump's been in office. Think about that.
That's rough.
Yeah,
a lot of.
So I am that enigma of post 20 teens angst and why millennials are the way we are, but I'm not a millennial. I guess I'm a Gen Z, 97 babies.
Whatever, yeah.
Whatever, like...
Whatever.
Like I said, I'm a mess. I'm messy. Mess.
Well, that's the horror. So then the other thing we have to unpack is the horror of being in one's early 20s.
Yeah. But beginning to end seems logical for me. At least as a timeline. Unless you want to bounce around. You do you, Matt. Like...
Well, okay, let's go back to then, okay, what your mom said about you. I would say, I think your mom has always been really proud of you. And I think she has always, I think, enjoyed you more as a person as you've gotten older. 'Cause I remember her saying... In those days, you know, you know, it's like Noah's more fun now that you can have rational conversations with him.
Wow, thanks, Mom.
You know, I think it's
What I talk to myself a lot. What do you expect?
You know, I think that's always been the case. I think we always... I mean, Claire did have some good Noah...
Oh, God.
Young Noah stories that we would laugh about.
It's okay. You can laugh. Laugh away. I want to hear this.
No, I think it was... Was it Noah or it was...
Claire put me in the corner a lot.
Claire
put me in the corner a lot. She's like, Heather? Oh, oi! Oi! You're being bad! Corner! Oi!
Maybe it was. Did Heather ever watch you?
Yeah, I hung out with Heather a few times at her apartment on Philly Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've hung out with her a few times. She had the twelve dot domino set with the trains.
Mm.
Yeah, and I already knew I'd play dominoes. They played chicken feets off the doubles. But I hung out with Heather a few times. I've hung out with Amy.
A lot of
Amy. And since she had a son, Mitchell...
Forced play dates.
Yeah.
I just remember one of them saying at one point, there was something you were supposed to do in the course of being watched, and you didn't want to do it. And I think they said something like, they were like, well, whatever, your mom's going to find out. And that was it. And then you did it. And we all laughed at that. Because, you know what I mean? It was like the best...
I didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean...
They're like, okay, whatever, my mom's gonna find out. I mean...
Yeah, and then you went and did it, because that was the best motivator.
I would be in bed by the time she got back from grad school anyway, because I had to wake up at, like, what, 6 in the fucking morning to walk to daycare? Oh my goodness, that's something I want to talk about.
Okay, what?
The day 9/11 happened. like.
Okay. Yeah. We. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we talked about in at the coffee shop tonight.
Yes.
And that your mom. I remember your mom saying to me on the 10th anniversary that a lot of those images that are, I think, kind of permanently burned into the American unconscious, mm-hmm. she saw for the first time.
Yeah.
Because you were just young enough to be aware of the world. And that's another thing your mom always said about you.
I was woke.
That you were woke. That you were always kind of aware of stuff. And could figure stuff out in ways that surprised her.
I just never told anyone. Yeah, I was repressed as a child. I you know, mom did the best she could with. She didn't know the circumstances at what happened behind the scenes when she was away, not at home. But she did the. She's the absolute best mother in the world.
Yeah,
hands down. I will argue against anyone. They can at me on Twitter, at Derpy Discord. At me if I'm wrong on this. She is the best mother. 100-.
She's just the best person. I mean, she's someone.
She's going through a rough time now.
I mean, I think of her, like, professionally. I mean, as just one of the people that I came
she through deserves, grad school with. She deserves the moon.
Yeah.
But the 9/11 thing, I remember. Okay, so put our audience into perspective. Back in the day, Ackerman Hall at IUP used to be where my mother would walk me onto campus, and that's where I would get dropped off at daycare. Well, apparently, around 10-ish, 9:30, 10-ish, I think that's when everything started going to hell on 9/11.
Well, so, yeah, so...
It was around, in the morning.
Yeah, so I would say I got to work... You know, so it was in the 8 o'clock hour of the first plane hit. And I remember getting to work a little before 9. I played this game. I hated. I had a job before.
Were you still at the shipyard?
No, I was a publication assistant for a material science journal at the time.
At St. Francis? Or?
No, at a different place that shall be remain nameless.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I was here in Pittsburgh. We had just moved to Pittsburgh the previous year, previous summer. And I got to work, and the thing we would do in absence of other technology, you know, I would email people all day because my job was super boring and awful and was not a full-time job, which was actually the hardest job I ever had, is that there were 2 weeks where I was utterly redundant and didn't need to be employed by anyone. But I had to look busy for those 40 hours.
Yeah.
To get
anything
resembling a living wage.
Looks can be deceiving, good and bad.
So I would email me and a friend I'm not friends with anymore. I would email Danelle and someone else. And she emailed me, oh, yeah, a plane hit the World Trade Center. And I remember thinking, oh, it was a Cessna or something.
Oh, no. It was freight line.
Yeah. Something. But, you know, there were no images. Mm-mm. Immediately, like, CNN crashed. Actually, what had happened was at the place before they closed headquarters, somebody actually ran home and bought and got a TV antenna so that we could watch what was going on. Because I remember trying to go to CNN.com, and it took, and I remember stepping away from my desk in about 40 minutes. One thumbnail picture loaded. Like, it crashed the internet. Everybody.
Yeah.
I remember, actually, I drove to work on fumes. Because I would play this game. Because I hated that job so much. Mm-hmm. How late could I stay in bed and still get to work in the north suburbs on time?
Oh, my Lord.
And I got in my car that morning, and the needle was not totally on E, but it was in that little space between the orange marker on the
event horizon of the gas gauge.
The event horizon of the gas gauge and the actual line for empty.
Oof.
And I was late and I drove to work on fumes. And when they said I just saw the one tower, the South Tower collapse.
Oh my Lord.
On a fuzzy TV signal. And my supervisor said headquarters is closed. And I ran in my car. And the first thing I did, which is trouble in the Middle East, what you do or what you did back then, I bought a tank of gas. And then it took me 2 hours to get home. Well, you and just... I sat in my car for 2 hours, crawling through city traffic.
You just...
Listening to the radio reports of what happened.
Oh, my God.
So I remember your mom saying to me on that 10th anniversary, she finally watched, you know, one of the news specials.
Oh, man.
And she had seen stuff for the first time.
I remember this day exactly. Yeah.
Because she didn't want you to see the stuff that was happening.
I remember the day like it was yesterday. She took me out of daycare. Everyone's parents came to get them. She was watching the feed live in Leonard Hall. R.I.P. Leonard Hall.
Yeah.
Great building. Not so great near the end.
Yeah. Not so great the whole time I knew it, but I love that building.
The original one burned down, so...
Yeah.
No one knew the original Leonard before it was cool. It's okay.
Yeah.
And she just took me into the Oak Grove, and I guess I faffed about as a child should. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was. And
I remember when we went to the 9/11 Memorial Museum in New York City, and my mother, she didn't know what to think of it. And I was just like, look, this is not for you. This is not for your generation. This is for people after you, after mine. This is for the Gen Zers and beyond. This is what it's supposed to be about. So right now it seems weird to everyone still alive, but it's actually for people that aren't born yet.
That's true.
No one's thought of that. And I had a teacher in high school when I moved to Lock Haven, and he was like, yeah, that's stupid. That's all fake. And I'm like, dude, you haven't even been there, so what the fuck do you know?
Yeah.
You just know forestry, and you know how to chop a fucking tree down. Like, good for you. Whatever.
Yeah.
Clap. Slow clap.
So I think that's the other thing. So it's like your... I won't say formative years because you're a little older than that, but like your...
I was four.
You were
four. It was 2001. I was three, going on four. Yeah. Almost 4 years old.
But it's still like your early childhood, and definitely when your first memories are being formed.
I remember when
we're during the Great American Freakout.
I remember when my dad still lived with me. My biological dad. Yeah. I remember when he left. Wow. In his purple truck. Wow. I was like... I turned to my mom. I was like two or something at the time, and I was like, he's probably not coming back, is he? And she just didn't answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the thing.
I think that's a thing to have, you know, if you want to ask me any questions about that time. You know what I mean? Because I think it's so weird, you know.
I just want
to... I'm always haunted by, and this is maybe the background of this podcast, and this is a story I tell my students a lot.
Yes.
The British life on Mars... Not the crappy American version, but if you get to see the BBC version.
Okay.
Premise of that show, guy is a cop in Manchester in the mid-aughts, gets hit by a car, wakes up in 1973.
The 2000s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gets hit by a car, wakes up in 1973. When he was like 4 or 5.
Interesting, yeah.
And there's a couple times he encounters himself as a child.
Oh, man.
And the whole premise of the show is you don't know if he is just having a hallucination.
Yeah, or it's real.
If this is the afterlife.
Oh,
or
man.
If he's time traveled.
That's real.
Yeah, and it's this great suspenseful. And this premise, and there is this one episode that we binged watched it one Christmas break, where he is walking down the street and he turns a corner and he goes, oh, I lived on this block. And he makes the utterly disastrous move of knocking on his door, and his mom answers the door. And the cat he had when he was a kid is in the apartment. He goes in and talks to his mom.
Yeah.
And he finds out all of these things that he didn't know about the world when he was 4. And he finds these things out about his parents and what they were into. And I think for Danelle and I, this... really haunts us, because I think if we could go back to 1983, there's a lot of things that I think we would have known or learned about our parents or our parents' worlds that I don't know if we'd want to know that. You know what I mean? Or it would change a perspective or whatever. Because that was a time in this country. I mean, I think we are still recovering from that. And I think we're still, I don't know, this country changed. I almost feel like in a certain way, in a weird way, like what I thought this country was going to be or what my adult life was going to be has still been sort of taken away from me on that moment.
Yeah.
Just kind of general insanity. And I think the general, I think you can draw a straight line from 2019 insanity.
I agree.
To 2002 insanity.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's almost the 2020s. And we're still stuck. We're stuck. We're stuck in this rut of nothingness. I don't know what's going to happen 2 years from now. Honestly, I can't plan that far ahead because I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Or what.
Well, here's the thing. This is my thing. And you say about 21. I felt this. Actually, you know, I will say, old man, unsolicited old man advice podcast. Here we go.
I feel old already. Jeez.
I felt the same way when I was 21.
Yeah.
Like I'd climbed the mountain.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be 42 in less than 48 hours. I don't think my life started until I was 36. Honestly, I get nostalgia for time and place. I get nostalgia sometimes for being a grad student. I get nostalgia for being an undergrad. I build a firewall in my mind, and I don't think about life before I went to college because it's not a good place to go. And I know that that's unhealthy, and I'm working on it, okay?
It's unfortunate, but we're going to be going back in the mind, so it's okay.
Yeah, but my life really did not start in a lot of ways until I was about 36.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's crazy, because you have, but 30-some years where you're like, I wish I just had that back. I just wish I would have known.
Yeah, but you know, but that's the other thing is I look at my life now. I was thinking about this at the show when we were at this show.
Yeah.
And one of the guy who booked the show was like, you were on the short list for playing this show. We're going to do this sometime. We're going to play a show together. That started when I was 16 years old. I realize now that there are things that I did, decisions that I made, things that I got into when I was 16 years old that are coming to fruition now. And I realized that there's a lot of shit that happened. Happy accidents, full-blown mistakes, lucky bounces.
I'm lucky.
That put me where I am.
I'm lucky.
And I think I didn't realize that. I mean, I wish I got over a lot of my depression and insecurity and chronic feelings of worthlessness before my mid-30s.
And this is why
that
I'm on,
been nice.
And this is
that
why I'm
nice.
On the podcast, so I don't hit 36 and feel the way you do. See, this
make
is why
me feel
you,
great.
No, honestly, I don't want to waste any more time that's already been taken away from me.
I don't know if it is. I had this very good advice actually from one of my undergraduate professors, Chuck Olson. Chuck, if you're listening, hey.
Hi, Chuck.
He said to me, because he was the same way. I mean, he's now a semi-famous painter. I mean, he is in the world of painting, the art world. He described once, he's in the big leagues. He's in the NBA. He's maybe getting 20 minutes a night, but he's in the league.
So he's like,
and he just retired from his job.
So,
you know,
he's like,
I mean?
He's like Darren Collison.
Yeah. And he said, Matt, you're only racing yourself.
Oh man.
And I remember, and there was a long time I didn't believe that advice. But now, from where I am, I realized that feeling of. The horror of being in your early 20s is thinking, it's got to happen. It's going to happen. Why hasn't it happened yet? What the fuck? It didn't happen. Is it ever going to happen?
Yeah.
And This is something I say to my students a lot. I mean, just don't stop swimming.
I'm a good swimmer.
You know, I mean, I can do sharks.
This. I can do. I can swim.
Be a fucking shark.
I know how
do
to fucking
not
swim.
Stop swimming, because you know there were plenty of doors of opportunity that closed. And this isn't Robert shit. I understand. Like,
no, I understand completely. I understand.
Because the other thing is, right, you talk about not knowing 2 years from now. The 20th century is fucking dying.
The boomers, man.
The boomers, anybody who did anything cool, remarkable, fun in the 60s, 70s, and 80s is in the fucking checkout lane of life.
Jimi Hendrix is going to be 80 next decade if he were to survive.
If he were to survive.
Like, he's old.
Yeah.
Tupac, Biggie, like all of them.
Yeah.
Tupac and Biggie will be like 50, 60s. Yeah. But still, like, they're, you know. Yeah.
I mean, and Gen not X. Only that, but, you know, like, these cultural figures, these figures that people are really, like, bonded to emotionally. But then also, like, there's things about the 20th century way of life.
It's crazy.
Of cheap fossil fuels.
If you...
And car architecture and suburbanization and all of... And industrial unskilled labor.
From...
All of those things are fucking dying.
From 1900 to 2000, it's two different worlds. It
yeah,
is.
And we're closing the door on the 20th century. And which is part of why the big American freakout is coming and why we're making America great again and all that shit.
Yeah, great.
Is people don't want to imagine or can't imagine how much different life is going to be on the other side of this upcoming decade. And so people are apocalyptic. I think people are nihilistic. I mean, not that there are not major, major, major fucking challenges. But, and those challenges in a lot of ways were the result of seeds sown in the 20th century.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to have a very different
vibe,
way of living, subjectivity. And that's happening and that's coming. And I won't even say it's necessarily, maybe I kind of like the 20th century. Maybe, but that's maybe because I'm old.
Laserdisc.
But I just bought a Laserdisc player today. So I love the 20th century. 1978 home movie technology is mine. I was so happy when I bought that thing today too. I thought about buying that for 6 months. It sat in the store, and I like today. I was like, today's the day.
Surge from System of a Down says a quote.
Yeah.
What's the song? What's the song from? His quote is, "We cannot afford to be neutral on a moving train."
Mm-hmm.
The song's slipping my mind.
That's all right. People can Google it.
Yeah, people can Google people it. Can they Google have smartphones it. Or the internets. Yeah.
I mean, and I think if you know. Have split function on your smartphone, if you're listening to your smartphone, don't stop the podcast, but do the split screen function.
Yeah, because Spotify devices. Can do that. This isn't YouTube.
Yeah.
This isn't YouTube.
Yeah.
You can do these things.
Unless you have YouTube Red.
Yeah, well,
actually,
no
this
one's
isn't
paying
on
for
YouTube.
That.
Yeah.
No one's paying. We're not even on YouTube.
Yeah, this is true. I should be probably. But yeah, and so your childhood was the Great American Freakout.
Yeah. I told you something earlier today that you were shocked about.
Yes.
I was not originally born a gainer.
Yeah.
That's my family name. I was not born a gainer. I was born a Bearfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a tire company. It's NTB, Tires and Maintenance or whatever.
National
and
like, Tire and Battery.
Yeah, National Tire and Battery. And I was like, yeah, those are my original initials. Every time I see it, and I think about that. And he was like, whoa, what? And I was like, yeah. And so my dad left, but he somehow came back and found us up here at an IUP in Indiana. I was six. I was in first grade at the time. And my dad tried to get me back, but he didn't fucking pay any child support, and of course the judge didn't rule in his favor, and mom, we won the case, mom and I won, and so the judge gave my mom the option. He was like, what do you want to do with his last name? And she ultimately made she made a 6-year-old, almost 7-year-old kid choose what last name they wanted. I could have either chosen kept my dad's name, that was not an option. Kept my first stepdad's last name, hell no. or take the family name, because there were no male Gainers of my generation. My half brothers are Gainer Pittman.
Yeah.
And they will choose which one they want to keep later in life. But for now, they're my half brothers. And so I was like the only Gainer at the time. I think I have a cousin that's also Gainer now, but
wow, I didn't know that. So which is the other honor, because I, you know, I have a an adopted dad and a biological dad.
Yeah.
So I went through that same
phase
separation. My mom's boyfriend, then husband, eventually adopted me in second grade. But yeah, six was when the last time I saw my biological father too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that's something that I don't know. It took me in my 30s to unpack how that affected my life.
No, and the crazy thing is, my biological dad's a total womanizer. He will marry you for your money and then bounce in like 2 years. So, I know for a fact he's had at least 4 wives after my mother.
Wow.
Who knows how many half-siblings I have?
Wow.
Like, I talked to my mom about this, and she was like, who cares? And I'm like,
you know, I'm in the same boat, because the way I last saw my dad, my biological father,
I don't know.
He had...
How your dad was...
Created a different family. In fact, he was my weekend dad. We had split visitation.
Oh, yeah.
And then he immediately fell into... I actually met... Wow, this is such an early memory, because I was probably 5. I met my replacement. Because she had a son from a previous marriage. And there was one time I went over the house to play, and that was the last weekend that he ever visited. Yeah. And I saw him... He still maintained a relationship with my sister until he died. But I saw him through a car window when I was 6 years old.
And you want my last memory of seeing my dad in person?
Yeah.
So after the court case and I took the family's name, I was now officially Noah Thomas Gainer. G-A-I-N-E-R. Yeah. So I was like, I'm hungry. This made me hungry. My mom didn't take me back to school or anything. And we ended up at fucking Park and Puke in Indiana, PA. And I remember this. I sat by my dad in the same booth, and my mom sat by whatever girlfriend he had at the time across from us. And he ordered the Super Burger, took one bite, and didn't eat the rest of it. And I just saw them, like, pull out, and then we had to pay for the check. Like, we left at the same time. They're like, okay, bye, whatever. And that's the last time I saw them.
Wow.
Ever. E-V-E-R. All caps.
Yeah.
Caps lock.
And yeah, no. Yeah, it was through an Oldsmobile window.
Frederick Allen Bearfield, fuck you.
yeah,
fuck that guy. And people at work are like, well, you should try and rekindle your relationship with your dad. I'm like, no, you don't fucking understand what the hell I had to go through afterwards, okay?
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. So first grade, that's where we're at now.
Yeah.
The six to 7 year olds of us. I had a first grade teacher that thought I was, like, mentally retarded. Like, because...
My third, yeah. Wow, we had the same life.
No,
that's weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
No, mine was third grade.
Hear me out on this. This is where it gets bad. So, no one... She would ask the classic question, okay, like, oh, what bird is this? Because we talked about the rainforest a lot, you know.
Yeah,
typical first grade, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And no one would raise their damn hands. And I gave them ample time to answer. And I was like, it's a macaw. We went over this. And then she would get mad that I didn't raise my hand, even though the answer was right. So she was like, went to the school board or whatever, and the principals. And they're like, yeah, I think he has problems. He has issues.
Oh.
And so... I think he should be on a behavior report. So, this is when Mickey started in my life. This is when he came into my life. And he forced me to call him dad. He wasn't, but, you know, yeah. I was a child. I didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
I talked back. That didn't really end well. So now I'm on a behavior report. And so I never got, it was either frowny face, neutral face, or smiley face. I had to get a smiley face, or things happened that, you know, I never got a smiley face, and so every time I had to bring this home, I had to get it signed, or bring it back, or something. I had to bring
the notes
home for the parents to see, because I tried hiding the notes under the textbooks, and she didn't like that. And then Mickey was like, hey, where's your note? And I was like, oh, she didn't bring it, write it today. And she's like, okay, whatever. And it didn't end up well for me. And so this man would go to Lowe's and get, like, I think they were 2x4s. Yeah, and every time, like, he would get, like, a surplus of 2x4s, and he'd keep them in the basement. And, like, if I didn't have a good behavior report, he'd just hit the shit out of me with them. Mm. Yeah. Until they broke. Like, these aren't softwood pines we're talking about. This is, like, red oak. I don't know if you know your trees, people, but yeah. Hardwoods are literally hard to break. And so my mom didn't know this, though, because she was not there in the evening times when I got home from school before she did. And so a guy that forced me to call him dad, that wasn't really his dad, he was a raging alcoholic. He was hooked on Oxycontin, or whatever you call it, Oxys. And this happened for 4 years. 4 straight years of school.
Wow.
Up through fourth grade. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. And he threatened. I couldn't tell my mom, because he made it seem like, oh, yeah, she knows what's going on. I'm like, what? I didn't know that he was lying, of course, you know. And, you know, I eventually told mom after he was gone. And he...
Well, you had said something to your grandmother.
I've heard that.
So you had.
I've said things to my grandma.
You went to your grandmother one summer, and you had said something, and that was how your mom found out.
Yeah.
The thing for me is, it's weird.
It was like fifth grade going to sixth grade. I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah, if we're talking about perspective, we're talking about.
It's real, man. Like. Kids go through this, and it sucks.
And, you know, and it's weird, because I knew, again, your mom's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And I knew that person. Yeah, I knew Nobody the person knew, we're talking Matt. About and had no clue. I had no clue about the other stuff. I had no clue, like, from the outside.
Yeah.
This was a person that, you know, interacted with on social media, would hang out with your mom, would hang out with him by proxy. And... Yeah, it is, and so everyone, the secrets of that
every moment knew.
Are...
Or everyone did know. Everyone
no
did
No one
know.
Knew. No one we... I mean, I was completely... I will say...
It was...
I was completely bamboozled by this person we're talking about. MM, or whatever you want to call him.
Not even.
I mean, it's just totally no idea what... Yeah.
I was like, coming out of sixth grade as the last year of him as being, you know,
around.
Yeah. And the beating ceased for the most part. seventh grade rolls around. So that was most of elementary school. So, like, I didn't just move schools. The behavior report moved with me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, great. Because you guys all hate me. None of my friends knew. None of my teachers knew. Like, I have friends today that I have I promised to tell them what's happened. Today, I'm going to meet with them in the near future. I haven't talked to them in years. Years! I liked them for a very long time, and they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know, and no one knows what to say about that. I understand. No one knows
how to say. Yeah, no one knows what to say. I mean, here's what okay. I will say.
I'm not offended. I just...
Well, I wish I knew. I wish... It's fine. I wasn't bamboozled.
It's okay.
I think there's something that I would say is that I've learned.
Yeah.
And it's that person.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
And other human beings that I've met along the way.
Yeah.
You know, I've had two era-defining friendships of my life end. Because I'm fairly certain that individual sexually assaulted someone.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, there was a person I lived with. There was a person that... in a lot of ways, got me into the Pittsburgh music scene. No clue. Yeah. No clue. And you look back in retrospect and you go, oh. And like suddenly all of these ones and zeros add up to something.
Yeah.
And I will say the other thing is, and again, this is like stock advice I almost give my students. You know, sometimes when we read stuff, especially fiction about childhood, and I said, you know, you're going to spend a good deal of your adult lives figuring out your childhood. That's hard to say to a freshman at 18 to realize that.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, there's things that I'm still unpacking at, you know, a few days short of 42.
In elementary school, I had to grow up fast. Like, yeah. I had to grow up. I had to grow up super quickly. I wasn't ready. No one's ready to go through.
No one's ready. No one's ready for a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, the horror of being young is... You know, you haven't, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying the general you, the royal you.
The royal we.
The royal we. You know, it's like you have an adult mind now, you can go to bars.
Yeah.
Buy handguns, the whole deal. Handguns, lottery tickets, all of it. And yet, life has not revealed how to live it yet.
I do have to say this, though. Everything kind of started to turn around. I tell my friends, 2011, 2011, 2011, in this second millennia that we're in, as far as...
Second decade of the third millennium, actually.
Yes. I have to give credit where credit is due. If I didn't meet Joe Cook and Jason Harrington, I probably wouldn't be here. Mm. Like they mean so much to me, and yes, they were like my first true friends.
Mm-hmm.
I opened up about what happened. They were there for me when, you know, I told them, and they were there for me when I got my current stepdad, before he was, well. He's better now, but the start out, it was
rough.
It was very rough.
I remember that period too.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah, no, I understand. And yeah.
Like, when you come home from lacrosse practice, you're tired, you're drowsy, you're cranky, you want to take a shower and eat a sandwich. I walk down the hill from Horseman to my house, and I see, like, well, that's not what happened. But there were cop cars, and my one neighbor down the street.
I remember that day too.
Yeah, they were like, "Yeah, you gotta come with us." I'm like, "What? Why?" And I was like, "Yeah, the cops are all at your house." I'm like, "What the fuck is going on with my life?" And so I just hung out, and I was like, "Okay, Mom, it's okay. Dagan is okay." Like. We'll get through this, and so...
I had a meeting with your mom, like, the next day.
Oh, man.
We had to be in this meeting together.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I was probably watching him, honestly, when she was there. I remember that. It was in the summertime. It was hot. It was humid.
And most absurdly, it was late summer because we were starting the school year together as colleagues. And I had gone to the West Side Market in Cleveland previously, and for some reason I bought your mom. They have this amazing, in the produce arcade at the West Side Market in Cleveland, this amazing dried fruit stand.
Is this the big guy you want some melons place?
Same place, yes.
Same place?
But there's this other, I think they're like, I remember that, I think they're like Coptic Christians. I remember that being a big thing, because it was like a sign on the wall. We are Coptic Christians, this is what this is.
Oh,
like, okay,
my Lord.
Amazing transcendent dried fruit. And I remember buying your mom that, because I was like, I remember going on and about it, and I was at the West Side Market, and I was like, oh, I better get MG some dried fruit.
MG.
And I did, and I remember giving it, and your mom was
the next
upset.
Day.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And, like, shit was fucked up. Yeah. And I just remember, like, oh, here's a fruit basket. You know, like, in all of the absurdity, you know. And again, it's like, what do you say, what do you do when you have a good friend who's struggling?
Yeah.
He was in a bad spot.
I think the best thing Joan Jason told me is, like, at least at school, we're here for you. And so that changed my perception on school life.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, at least, you know, for 8 hours a day, I could walk to school, be with Joan Jason, hang out, tell them all that's happening, digress, and then after school, go do my own thing, then come back, and then people will eventually come back home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seventh grade, 8 years ago, man. 2011. That was LeBron's first year in Miami. Like, that's how long ago that was.
Wow, that feels like an eternity ago.
Like, the decision.
The decision.
The
man.
Decision. And like, it just blows my mind, the things I look back onto now and things I got into in 2011. Most of it for the good. That's when it turned around for me, because I was on the brink. Like, I was like, great, I'm going into fucking middle school. Even more assholes. And there were more assholes, but there were...
Yeah. Middle school, there's more assholes.
Yeah, yes.
That needs to be on the sign.
Middle school, there's more assholes. You're welcome. Switch the letters around on the sign in the front yard. So middle school, there's more assholes.
That makes absolute sense.
It is, but I owe those to my life. And even though they have their own issues, and I love them, I could never abandon them unless they do something so fucked up. Like, even I would have a hard time cutting ties with these two.
Yeah.
And I've now recently, in the past few years, ever since I got, back to college. And that's the other thing. I moved before I graduated from Indiana.
Yeah.
That hurt a lot.
Yeah, I remember that day. I remember those days helping your family pack.
God.
Those were long days.
God.
Oh.
Man. I thought it couldn't get worse from Indiana until you move into Lock Haven. I don't care. I'm name-dropping places. I'm scorched earth in these motherfuckers. Philip Sheridan and these bitches. I don't care. Lock Haven sucked. Yeah, okay. Mm. Especially relationship-wise. Like, that ruined everything. I used to be an optimist until I moved to Lock Haven. Like, that took all hope. Yeah. Little hope that I've gained over middle school and high school years, and just put it through a tree shredder, or a wood chipper. And, man, looking back on that, I remember you were there for my graduation. You surprised me.
Yeah.
God.
I drove the hell off of that.
You wanna talk about a farce?
Yeah.
Oh, let's talk about that. Oh my Lord.
You know,
my graduation, spring 2016, Central Mountain, Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. The valedictorian, I don't even know his fucking name, because I didn't give a shit about people there, plagiarized the valedictorian from 3 years prior.
Yeah.
Matt, my mother, myself, cousin Ellen, all were live tweeting, and Danelle, we're all live tweeting my graduation. We were all live tweeting how terrible this was.
Yeah.
Like, it was that bad.
I just remember that my favorite part was the music director.
He doesn't know how to play piano.
Playing a piano, and those poor kids.
Those girls.
Who were singing.
And they just broke down.
They knew the right notes.
And they were
crying.
But
they were trying to sing along to the piano that he couldn't play.
He was
musically terrible. Because he was hitting all these like weird off notes and not in a really cool jazz syncopation kind of way. But it was just, he sucked. And I just remember, I was like, wow, they know the notes. And they know they should follow him, but they shouldn't follow him. They should sing the right notes.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
That was my graduation. And the last memories of living in Lock Haven before we were forced to move back to West Virginia, where it all began, because my grandmother now has dementia, was my ex-girlfriend cheat on me. She didn't cheat on just anyone with me. She cheated on her own father when she was dating me. So I caught that with my own eyeballs.
Oof.
That was eventful. That shook my core. If my core was, you know, still intact, maybe.
Yeah.
I've gone through the terrible abuse, the mental anguish, and I've been rebuilt by Jason and Joe and a few others. I will get to the few others soon, but now that I'm in college, but for that to happen, and this was last summer, that was my last remaining memory of Lock Haven as I know it, and to see someone you were with cheat on you with their own dad, like, that's not cool. I hope.
That's weird and terrible.
It's weird. And it's
there's
terrible.
There's not a handbook. There's not a manual for how to deal with that situation.
There
you
is
know?
Not a spot. Like, if I had to write my autobiography, I don't know how many books I'd sell, but goddamn, it'll be hard to get through.
It's
that.
A hell of a story. So
it'll
far.
Get. I could. I don't think I could write it. It'd have to be a biography.
I think, another thing, though. I mean, two things I want to mention. One, so you went back to Indiana for school, which is interesting. Which is always weird, because your mom says to me now, it's because she lived there for how many years, because grad school's forever, how weird it is to go back to that town.
Yeah.
Now. And yeah, I think it's somewhat stressful for her to be in that place that all these emotions are tied to. And I think the other thing is how you feel, because maybe you had these experiences, what I want to explore, because we're
good.
Rapidly approaching an hour.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, bottom five is on the way, but a way of maybe putting a cap on this before we really put a cap on the bottom five, with the bottom five, I should say, is, because I will say, like, the situations that I had that I grew up into that were sort of fucked up, and I remember, I think much like you, probably at a very young age, realizing how kind of fucked the world was.
Yeah, I knew it was,
you know, or
good.
Like, this is a bill of goods or whatever.
I do want to get to the bright spot at the end.
What perspectives you have.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of other people who have,
they have no idea.
Normal happy lives or whatever.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Going on vacation on the gram. Like, look at me! Look at all my likes I get. I have 10,000 followers. Fuck you.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, again, though, but, you know, I will say that's another thing is, like, I realize, again, another thing that old age has taught me.
That's okay.
Is...
I'll be there.
So. Well, yeah. Is the perspective of, like, how many people are fighting invisible battles.
Yeah.
And even those annoying as fuck Instagram people... annoying as fuck people I went to school with, or annoying as fuck people...
I do
want to
leave this.
I went to grad school with. How many people do fight invisible battles?
Yeah.
Yours have been perhaps a little more... now a little more visible to me.
Yeah, mine weren't invisible, though. Like, I understand what you're saying. People are fighting things. They think they have issues. But
I think there's people... People will surprise... have surprised me in time, like, oh, this person's it, but then you realize, oh, this person was actually going through, this person did not, like, understand
I had
about
the
life.
I had the childhood arc of most serial killers, like, think about that for a minute. That's why I want to end this on a happy note with the people I take care of now, and about why I am the way I am, and I want to just end on a happy note before we do the bottom five.
Yeah, well, let's talk about these perspectives. Like, what you know that probably contemporaries your age don't. Like, what you learn from all of this.
So, because
I think that's...
I've learned... Looking back, starting in college, I was like, okay. I need to get it together. And find out what made me happy.
Yeah.
A few things that made me happy back in my childhood, or as close to happy as I was.
Yeah.
2011. I would meet Jason. I met Joe. And I would come home, and, you know, if people weren't there at the house, okay, I'd turn cartoons on. The only thing that would be awesome to watch on was, honestly, My Little Pony. And here I am. Like, this is what I'm at now. Like, yeah, I'm a brony. I don't give a fuck. And so now, think about this. This is, like, total millennial stuff.
Okay, yes.
Originally, they were depressed, abused kids, and they were like, we have nowhere else to go, and we want to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I got to college, these people, like, the other... They're actually mostly female, but they sought me out because they knew. I was open about it. I was like, yeah, I watch it on occasion, you know, I get what they're doing. And they're like, yeah, we're getting harassed by these, like, right-wing people on campus. And I was like, what? What's going on? And this was before Trump got elected. This is August, September 2016.
Indiana's
so when the
fucked
election...
up.
So Indiana, Pennsylvania is a hot zone right now.
It's been
that way.
I remember the Bush years. I remember in 2004.
Yeah.
Parking my car on Indiana's campus and staring that fall semester at a sign somebody wrote in 3-foot-high chalk letters on a retaining wall.
Yeah.
John Kerry kills babies.
Yeah, John Kerry kills babies.
And Michael Moore spoke, and I thought I went to see him on campus that year. I thought I was going to get my ass kicked. It was the one time I went to a public event where I felt... going to the event profoundly unsafe.
He's a good man.
But you know what I mean? But
he's
Indiana
a good man.
Has always been this
so
weird... I remember there was a mixed race. When your mom and I were in grad school, there was a mixed race faculty couple who tried living in Indiana.
Yeah.
And somebody burned a fucking cross on their lawn.
Oh, God.
So Indiana has always been... There's always been this element... I think it's the townies, the Jimmy Stewart townies, who see the university and its diversity.
It's the people outside the borough.
You know what I mean? But
the townies are in the borough. This is the hierarchy. The townies are actually, they lean left. It's the people outside the borough that come into town because they have nothing else to fucking do. Anyways, we'll get to the current issues. But
current issues, yes.
This is what bronyism is, taking care of the people you care about. And that's what I call it. It's bronyism. I don't give a fuck. I like now I have this group of people who shall not be named because I care for them and their well-being, and they're scared of these white right-wing nut jobs. And I was like, okay, I know they're around. They haven't shown their faces yet. Until they haven't shown their faces until early March of this last winter, I'm eating dinner in one of the dining halls. 10 of them come in, and they're like, they come right up to me and are like, we know who you are, we know who you take care of, and it's not going to end well for you. And I'm like, okay, bring it on. And I just started eating my burger in front of their fucking face, and they just stormed out. Like, but there were 10 of them. These neo-Nazi dudes, like, one of them even had a swastika thingy on their arm. Like, what the fuck is going on? And so I'm like, okay, we gotta do something about this. And so, with the events that happened recently in Indiana, with Patriot Front is now in the area. Jesus Christ. Oh,
then they stickered the main street.
Yeah, Philadelphia Street is the main street in Indiana. They put up so many... They stickered the entire Philly street inside the borough lines. And I was like... I told my buddy Joel, which is one of my bestest friends now, Joel Singleton and Brianna Hess. They were two of my bestest friends. They've been at your Christmas party the past 2 years. They are very good human beings. They realize, yeah, we got an issue. I've told half of the placeholders, the band that I might be joining, playing guitar, Jesse Brown, great man, love you, Luke Miller, love you too, man. They know that they're immobilizing. There is hope in Indiana, PA. There. You don't have to. You can come to me. It's okay. Like, we're there for you. And now people realize. Now they're out in the open. Like, people didn't know they were here 3 years ago, until I did.
Yeah.
Now we know, and now it's July 2019, and I have a few good friends, like Michaela Shaw, Alexis Fleming, like Joel Singleton, Brianna Hess, Joe Cook, Jason Harrington. The big ones are there. And we're doing the best we can. We're holding it down out there at IEP. I just worry when I leave. I'm going to worry for a long time when I leave. It sucks, because I've left. I should have graduated from there, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And everything changed when I left. I come back and, like, oh, shit. It sucks, but there is hope at the end of the tunnel. You know. Feist.
There's a dog outside.
But, yeah. There's hope and... all that good shit, I guess. And music. Music helps.
Music is good.
Punk rock will save the world. One concert at a time.
Yeah. Libby. You're real quiet. I don't know we're in here. Oh. I think we're going to have to pause recording for a second.
Yep. Oh, gosh. Okay.
All right. Unpause. We are now joined by my Mountain Feist.
Hi, Mountain Feisty.
All right, and now it's time for the bottom five.
Fun fact, Libby and I are both from West Virginia. Oh, that's right. Isn't that right? I know. It's a terrible place. See, look. We're moving on up. Yes.
All right. Oh, jeez. So, popped in the face. All right. So it's time for the bottom five.
Yes.
A series of questions not related to our main topic that are of a surrealistic and or philosophical nature. Are you ready?
Oh, I was born ready for this, man.
All right. Let's so you know this. Then what the first question is going to be, right?
What type of disease would you be and why?
Yes. What type of, if reincarnation is real, if you had to come back with infectious disease or illness, what disease or illness would you be? Hey, buddy. Hey, friendo.
I was thinking about this the other day. Ah, that's ticklish. And I had to answer. I gotta remember it for a second. Just give me a minute to let me reflect.
Hey, friend.
Oh, I know what. I know why. Gangrene.
Okay.
I would be gangrene.
Okay.
It eats you from the inside out. And when it's too late and it's spread too completely through your body. I feel like that's a metaphor for my life. If you've done me wrong in the past, it's going to slowly eat away at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be like, oh shit, maybe I should, you know, communicate with him, with Noah Gaynor. And yeah. I'm like, no, cut off. So that's why you chop off limbs and gangrene, because it, that's what you do. It's gangrenous, and it smells like almonds. That is, I would be gangrene, yes. Because it is a slow death killer.
Okay.
Slow and painful. Question two.
If you had to choose, would you welcome the total elimination of day or night?
I like this question.
It's stolen from the book of Surrealist Games, so this is, I take no credit for it.
I would eliminate... See, this is tough. So, now, is this a loophole? Is there still sunset?
No.
No?
Just complete day or night.
Day or night. Okay. I would probably have to eliminate day.
Yeah, day sucks.
Day sucks. Fuck day. Day's... It's like living in Antarctica for half the year.
Yeah.
Like, it's dark. Total darkness, my old friend. Like, hello yeah. darkness, my old friend. But there's... The sunlight reflects off the full moon other and all the moon phases
mm-hmm.
other than the new moon. So technically, we're only in true darkness when it's the new moon.
But, fair enough.
But the moon is cool. Luna is cool. Yeah. I'd eliminate Celestia first before Luna.
Okay.
10 out of 10.
Question three. What is your most irrational pet peeve?
My irrational pet peeve? Other than this Libby on my lap. Oh, God, ow. Okay, you're licking me. Okay, my most irrational pet peeve?
Yeah, the thing that just annoys the hell out of you. It really shouldn't. It's just stupid. It's just dumb.
I am. But that is, that's why I'm a jester at heart, so I like being stupid for the right people. Wow, this is a hard question.
Yeah.
My biggest pet peeve.
What is not a big thing that but gets you really angry? And maybe the most absurd of those.
My biggest pet peeve is, being told, I've actually been told this many a time, being told that religion makes you a better person. I've been told that at work so many times. Mm. They're like, yeah, you were a good person when you saved that homeless person the other day, like a few weeks ago. And they're like, yeah, God was watching over you. He was with you. And I was like, okay, but anyone should have done that and helped a homeless veteran be saved from the cops of Indiana, Pennsylvania. You know? Like, mm-hmm. You don't need religion to be a good person. It's just common sense.
Yeah.
Just be a good human being. Have a good soul. Have a good heart. And hopefully, fingers crossed, one day, it'll all come back and be good to me.
Mm-hmm.
It probably won't. That's just my reality. But, you know, I still hold out hope.
Makes sense.
Survived by Dr. Dog. That's
yes.
song.
Speaking good of song. Religion.
Ooh, yeah.
If there's a hell and you end up there, name celebrity one celebrity that you hope expect to meet there.
Wow. Did you pick all of these questions with me in mind?
I don't know. I just picked them.
Randomly. Random generator, huh? Celebrity I would want to meet in hell.
Well, no. It doesn't have to be want, but expect or hope to meet there. It could be a positive thing. in a weird way, like, oh, it'd be cool to hang out with. I mean, this is the Mark Twain Letters from the Earth thing.
Lips.
Wow. I would have to go with Tara Strong.
Okay.
She's one of the best voice actors out there. She's one of the kindest, most kind-hearted human beings on the planet Earth. She would absolutely make it worthwhile to be there for eternity if I were to hang out with her and we would just use our dumb different voices, like, back and forth, like this. And then she would talk in her Raven Teen Titans and then switch it up into Twilight, Sparkle, or Bubbles from Powerpuff Girls, or Timmy Turner. Like, all these millennials are having flashbacks, and they're like, oh my god, he fucking remembers. Yeah, I didn't forget about Raven from Teen Titans either. Yeah, I remember. She was also Harley Quinn in the old Joker, Batman 90s cartoon. She was Harley Quinn, man. Woof! So yeah, Tara Strong. That would be fun. Okay. Hanging with Tara Strong in hell. That would be great for me.
All right, last one then.
Oh man, I'm ready.
Question 5. If you had to choose, would you rather live 100 years in the past or 100 years in the future?
Well, I've said this for years, and this might shock you. Maybe not. But on all the Facebook quizzes I've ever done, such a millennial talking right now, there's always a question where it's like, oh, what decade would you like to live in? And I would always choose the 1920s.
Okay.
All the years of the rules, segregation, it's evil. Yeah, I get it.
Yes.
It is evil.
You're also sandwiched between two world wars.
I'm sandwiched between two world wars. Electricity is just now beginning to go into hotels with refrigeration. Everyone goes to the hotels, which is technically the club. Everyone's all in their get-up. That's, like, the Great Gatsby fucking sucks. But, like, that's the lifestyle I want to survive in. Just for a day. Just for a day.
No, this isn't for a day. This is permanent.
Yikes. 100 years ago. No, okay. But I do think about this. I think I... See, the thing about picking the future is we're probably not going to make it that far. Like, we're not going to make it 100 years from now. Please. Please. If humans make it 100 years from now, you better re-erect my dead ass from whatever, wherever I've yeeted myself into the ground, okay? Like, and tell me, and then you at me if I'm wrong. At me. And be like, hey, guess what? We're still here. I'll be like, oh, cool. Put me in the ground. I want to be dead again. And that is why I pick 100 years in the past, not okay. In the future.
Well, I think that's about it.
My lord, this was great. All our done next, at like 3 in the morning.
Yes. Our next episode will eventually happen, and it'll be about something. Our homepage where you can find old and new episodes is gonnadiepodcast.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, and Mixcloud when I remember. Follow us on Twitter at GonnaDiePodcast, and We're All Gonna Die is on Facebook, thanks to our guest, Noah.
Hello, I'm Noah Gaynor. You can follow me on Twitter @derpy_discord, or on Instagram, The Great and Powerful Gaynor. Use all underscores for the spaces, because, you know, I'm about that life. And Noah Gaynor on Facebook. I am mutual friends with Matt Ucia, and he's one of the bestest homies in the world. So thanks for having me, Matt. Dr. You.
Thank you.
On the pod.
Later, meats.
Meat.